Hello, would you please state your name, the date, the time, and your location?
Hello, my name is LJM. It's September 23rd. The time is 11:11 a.m. and I am currently in Cleveland, Ohio.
And the year is 2022.
Yes, 2022. That is the year.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under a Creative Commons license, attribution, non-commercial, share alike?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. Could you just start by introducing yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening? What would you want them to know about you and the place you're speaking from?
Which makes it even more loading, right? Well, like I said, my name is LJM. You can follow me everywhere but home at LJM, ELJAYEM underscore letters, LJM. About me, let's see. Ooh, coughing on the interview, that's embarrassing. Well, time stamp. Sorry, I really just am recovering from severe allergies, apparently. At least that's what we're going to hope for. So you might hear some coughing throughout this interview. I apologize to anyone listening for that, but real life, right? If anything, today is event day, September 23rd, and it's actually my grandmother's birthday. So, you know, rest her soul, she passed away 2007. Today was her day of her birth. And today is actually event day. It's Speakeasy Go Hard 4th anniversary. And Speakeasy Go Hard is a cultural entity that provides conflict resolutions to survivors of violence through the use of art therapy, right? Basically, we are trauma relief for the soul. And I'm speaking on that because right now, I feel the whole world is in a space of healing and reimagining. And I think right now it's just important that we activate those healing spaces that we can have to really heal properly and to give time and the proper love and nourishment to healing instead of trying to rush through it because it's an unpleasant feeling. That's where I am right now.
Would you tell me a story about your life during the pandemic?
A story about my life. When the pandemic hit, I just finished out my contract with the Bernie Sanders campaign in 2020. And I think if anything, anytime we talk about the pandemic, it goes back to that moment. You know, it's the same type of moment like, where were you when Michael Jackson passed away, right? Or where were you when you heard the news about Nipsey Hussle? It was the same thing with 2020. Like, so many people had so many big plans for 2020, right? Like, we were going to do it big. It's 2020. This was the year. It was the year, all right? But just getting off campaign, I was in Columbia, South Carolina. And around that time, you know, it's like panic spreading. Things are shutting down. People don't know what to do. I don't have any family in South Carolina. So I kind of got like, what's that word? When you get stuck on the island, it's not stranded. It's marooned. Yeah, I kind of got marooned in South Carolina. And that was quite interesting because, again, I didn't have any family down there. I didn't have any community. And I'm one of those people, I thrive off of community. I thrive off of being close to my loved ones. So I had to, like, really figure out things to do during that time. Also, I would want to say being a BIPOC millennial, you know, we're always put in the mind frame of if we're not producing, then what is our value, right? So I believe around that time, the question of what my true value and my true worth was, I mean, is it just the title and the salary as well as just trying to figure out what I really wanted to do? I joke with some people and I always say that COVID was a paid vacation for poor people. So to speak, it gave people time to really think, to like sit down, think and unpack something about what they want to do with their life. Like, yes, it was a scary time. People were dying. No one really knew what was going on. We saw the inadequacies of the infrastructure of the healthcare system as it stands in America. But I think it was also a time of rebirth and reimagining in some type of way.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
That was around that time in March. People were talking about it. They were saying COVID, at first they were trying to figure out where it came from. And I remember reading something from an ambassador in South Africa, and he had connections with China. And he had tweeted, he said that COVID might have been first discovered in China, but they were not the ones who created it. But, you know, it's going around, too, about COVID being created. It's not like a natural thing that took place or came up, but it was definitely, they saying that it was definitely created. So that's curious, because, you know, nowadays it's out there in the world and it keeps switching up. It's a new variant every single time. And they're saying there's no cure for it. You know, it was a lot of back and forth in the beginning. Some people believing it was real, other people believing it wasn't real. I'm thinking it was a hoax. So it was a lot going on the ground as far as like confusion and trying to figure out what's real, because we just came out of the Donald Trump era, right, where people were learning not to trust the media and not to trust Fox News. And unfortunately, around that time, the media, they were all media, all news channels, CNN, ABC, Fox 5, Fox, period, just all of them were pushing fear propaganda. They were like scaring people to stay inside the house. When you would drive down the highway, you would see signs that said, hey, stay inside. Like, they're literally pushing you to stay inside your house and not come out, right? We've never seen that before. So it was, like I said, it was definitely an interesting time to see how everything unfolded.
I'm wondering, based on your experience with conflict resolution, what were some of the things you noticed about the fear-mongering?
If anything, with the fear-mongering, you saw people's anxiety spike. This was also a time where you had to start sitting with yourself, right? So all those emotions that you had in the past, and you going to work trying to get through it, right? But really what you're doing is you're ignoring it until the memory is so far away, you don't remember it until it's been triggered. Well, I think 2020 was also like really triggering. So fear of the new alone was like triggering to people. It wasn't helpful. It had a triggering aspect to some people. You saw anxiety go up. You saw depression in teenagers go up. People discovered that they didn't know their family. You know, they had been imagining what their family was like for so long, and now they're getting close to understanding and knowing who their family was versus who they imagined them to be.
To the extent that you're comfortable sharing, would you say something about your experiences with health and healthcare infrastructure pre-pandemic?
I'm Black in America. I don't want to really subscribe to the stereotype that all Black Americans don't do doctors, but I can say I fall into the category of I don't do doctors or the healthcare system, just because of all the biases, the biasness, and the weirdness. I mean, I just know from my own perception, and I was telling that to my doctor today, who I met because about my cough, and it was weird. Because he was a Black doctor. I mean, he was African descent, but he looked like me. He gave me proper care, or he took me seriously, is what I felt. So I felt more comfortable with him. I can say, I guess, feeling for the healthcare system is uncomfortableness, right? And not sureness. And I don't really have too much faith in them. And again, that's just coming from me, because I've gone through it being sick and, you know, scared and worried about what I'm doing and what's wrong with my health. And I see my friends go through that as well. And the healthcare system tried to tell us something else. My best friend went to the doctor, to the hospital. I remember I took her to the ER. We went to the ER because she thought she was having a miscarriage. The Black nurse came in there and looked at us and said, why did y'all come here and she just on her period? And da 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 da. Like, what? You know, it was kind of just off-putting. And see, that's the other thing when it comes to like white supremacy and racism. You know, it can soak into generations. So people are taught to have biases against their own people, or just against certain people, period, just because that's the trend, right? That's how deep that type of hatred is, to the point where future generations can also view others like them as a nuisance or in a way. So again, it's trauma impacting. I probably went off script and said way too much, but yeah.
No, that was perfect. And you really can't talk too much in an oral history interview. So you're great. You're doing great. Staying in the pre-pandemic world, what was your day-to-day looking like?
Oh, I was having like 5 days in one. It was amazing. You know, wake up, go to the office, go to a school, teach at school for a second, go to an event, come home, take a nap, wake up, go to another event, probably get fed good food at the event, go out, have drinks with friends, you know, go find another ticket, probably grab some more food, go in the house, go to sleep. It wasn't anything too crazy. You weren't really thinking about germs, you know, like you knew they were out there, but it wasn't anything that could take out thousands of people. Your elders or things that you had to worry about, you really weren't thinking about it from that sense. At least I wasn't. So just get into that space, period. I think that's what life was. But again, people always talk about they want to go back to the norm, to be around the norm. Pre-post was cool, but why can't we reimagine some things too?
What are some of the ways that you'd like us to be reimagining?
It's just time to reimagine everything. I mean, and in this current moment, we're the 12th generation, probably the 14th at this point with the babies being born, but we're like the 12th generation still living under 8th generation rules and regulations. You get what I'm saying? So in layman's terms, we're living underneath a bunch of laws that dead white men made that don't even reflect today's demographic of America. So how are we really living? Like, are we really alive? Our Constitution is supposed to be a living, breathing document, not a mummified archive of what used to be or imposed, not real democracy, because really America is just a corporation underneath the UK or underneath the Queen. But now King, we're gay, we're G. You get what I'm saying? And that's just because they conquered over 90% of the world. That's a fact. But, you know, who's really trying to pay attention to that?
What are some of the things that changed for you when lockdown happened?
I think the real thing is like the strength in family, you know? I can say in mine, it became divided because, you know, people get scared. And when people move out of fear, it's a different type of movement. And I guess it's something that you would never experience with other people until you're in that moment, right? Like, you don't know how somebody will handle a crisis until they're in the middle of handling it. And the first thing you're not supposed to do is panic. Well, guess what? People panic. People panic. So, and then you got an election going on, or you feel me? So it was a lot of emotions going around, and people don't even deal with their emotions day to day on their own, right? So now you have a pandemic, people are scared, people are sitting at home, no one knows what's happening. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's like mentally stressful for people to have to deal with. Can you repeat the question? Because, yes, I did lose my point. I went off on a tangent.
I was asking what your day-to-day looked like.
Oh, yeah. So basically, you said once we went on lockdown, that's what we're saying. So, you know, again, just when we went on lockdown with that and just with the mental resources, the mental health resources not being present, right? We don't have a lot of mental health clinics around. You don't have that. So your home had to become your own mental health clinic, as well as it had to become your workspace. A lot of people started working from home. Because production has to go on, right? You can't just stop. What happens if you just stop? Everything ends, or at least that's what people think. So, yeah, I think for that time, me, I was still trying to figure out how we were going to make money. Because, you know, the unemployment, that CARE Act, none of that had came through yet. So it was just like 3 months of the Wild West, I was, so to speak. So when lockdown happened, I think that's what you can compare it to. For me, it was like the Wild West. It was an unknown, just trying to figure it out.
What are some of the things you noticed about the reactions of people around you?
Like I said, they were scared. Everybody kept saying, like, oh, make sure you wear your mask so you don't catch it. And, you know, if you pay attention to science and you focus on science and you focus on everything that they were saying in the beginning, they would explain that when you wear the mask, you're wearing the mask so that if you have it, you won't go and give it to other people. So that's why if you put the mask on, that mask did not prevent you from catching COVID. It prevented you from spreading COVID. So, yes, the mask helped stop the spread of COVID, but not for the way people were digesting the information, so to speak. So it was just like a lot of information being given, people not understanding it, people trying to go and market or monopolize the hand sanitizer market. You know, they were comparing it to The Walking Dead. Like, it's really about, that's why everybody went and stole the toilet paper. Do you remember that? You would go in the stores and there would be no toilet paper in the stores. Like, good God, man. Why did y'all take all the toilet paper? I really feel like The Walking Dead had something to do with that. And then even the water, like, people were taking up on the water. It was crazy. Like, it was certain things you just couldn't find in the stores that didn't have anything to do with COVID. Like Lysol. Everybody wanted Lysol, right? Lysol went from being, I think, maybe $3. Now a can of Lysol is a solid $10. Talk about supply and demand. Ooh, that's funny. So yeah, just dealing with that. So lockdown was interesting again because you really got to see people's true intentions, so to speak. Oh, and I do have to hop off this call in like 10, maybe 5 minutes, because I have another call at 12 that I have to prepare for that I completely forgot about.
All right, then I'm just going to ask for you to say whatever you think is most important for a historian of the future to hear from you.
Oh, okay. Hello, future. How y'all doing? It's all about emotions. Please be mindful of emotions, because emotions are real. I think that's one thing that our time is not doing right now. We're not paying attention to emotions. And the fact is that emotions are what create the culture. And the culture denotes the environment. And your environment determines your success. So emotions and mental health on the emotional scale is supremely important. Emotional intelligence is important. That's something that we really have to pay attention to, because that's why we deal with all of the issues we have now, because I believe we're lacking emotional intelligence. And please stop trading people for profit. I hope by the year 2050, we're no longer trading people for profit. And I hope the corporate chokehold on the government is obsolete. We have a real government that actually reflects the people and is for the health and humanity and joy of the people, and not for the bottom line. So those are my last words, I think. I can go on for days, but I think I'll stop there.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay. Hang up.